Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Haunted by a ghost that lived in my past. Bound up in shackles. Child, lift up your head. I remember, oh God, you're not done with me yet. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off these heavy chains, wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be, because I don't have to be the old man inside of me. His day is long dead and gone, because I've got a new name, a new life, and I'm not the same, and a hope that will carry me home. Wipe away every stain. I know who I used to be. I am redeemed. You set me free. So I'll shake off those heavy chains. Wipe away every stain. I'm not who I used to be. Oh God, I'm not who I used to be. Jesus, I'm not who I used to be. I am redeemed. Thank God. Souls of men.
Comforter, Keeper, Spirit, we long to embrace. You offer hope when our hearts have hopelessly lost our way. Oh, we've hopelessly lost our way.
As they're going to Children's Church, I want to invite you to join me this morning in prayer. As we come this morning, we certainly want to remember those from Hurricane Florence, our brothers and sisters there in North Carolina and many in the lower part of South Carolina as well. I also want to just praise the Lord for answering prayer for Dwayne Henson, continuing to recover and get better and better. And so also for Miss Frances Bailey, she's been moved from CCU down to a room now, and so still has a long ways to go. If you would, please continue to pray for Frances. Also for good news, as Brandon mentioned, we have 8 folks that are already signed up to help, but let me just say it's going to take a whole lot more than 8 folks to make this happen. I mean, there's already about 125 kids, and if it opens up next year to all 800 students, we're going to need a lot of help, so any way that you can help or pray about being a part of that, please begin to pray now. The training will be October 1st, and we start October 3rd. Also, last night, Miss Becky Center was taken to Greenville Memorial Hospital. If you would, just pray for Miss Becky. She was having some complications breathing, and so just pray they'll be able to get her squared away there to try to begin her process of getting healthy as well. But as we're here today to celebrate what God is doing and has done in the life of our church, I know in some sense we come to our prayer time, it's hard to think about. We're being excited about an offering we just took for retiring debt when we think about all those that are affected by the storm. But in the sovereignty of God, this was planned about 6 months ago for this day to be a day to celebrate what God's doing. And also that we'll have opportunity in the coming weeks to be able to try to help those that are in need as we find out even more about what those needs are. But let's go to the Lord and pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient for all of our needs. I thank you for each one that has gathered here today, Lord, with the desire to worship you. Lord, forgetting about the rain and the wind and the storm, Lord, but wanting a desire to be with you and to be with the body of Christ, to worship you in spirit and truth. And Lord, as we study and we learn about the Spirit today, Lord, I pray, God, that your Spirit would be here among us today, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that we would feel the presence of God here with us, Lord, knowing that when we gather together, we're two or more gathered, Lord, that we are together with you as well. Lord, I pray now, Lord, that as we pray for Francis and for Dwayne and, Lord, for Miss Becky, Lord, thank you, Lord, for hearing the prayers of your saints, Lord, for responding, Lord, in a way to bring honor and glory to yourself and the healing that's already taken place. Pray, Lord, for continued healing, Lord, for them to be able to return to their families, Lord, and to be able to worship you. And, Lord, I pray now, Lord, for those affected by the storm. Lord, as we watched on the TV, the things that were happening there, Lord, the flooding and the devastation is not over yet because of the rivers that will still overrise the banks, Lord, and flood as well. We pray for protection not only of homes and those kind of things, Lord, that are temporal, but, Lord, we pray especially for souls, Lord, to be protected. Lord, we pray, Lord, for those that are helping in the recovery process, Lord, to be able to share the truth of the gospel, for them to be salt and light, to be used by you in a way, Lord, that will point each of those that don't know you to you, that they can turn to you in faith and repentance, Lord, to be saved through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray now these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we come this morning, our study is going to be in John chapter 14 and chapter 16. So it's about a page apart there in your Bible. And so as we are studying, we're studying about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to ask you, is there times in your relationship with the Lord that maybe you felt frustrated? Maybe you felt as if you weren't in as close a relationship with the Lord. You think about those times, and maybe you're in one of those times right now in your life here today. You're here today because you're just going through the motions of just coming together. This is what you normally do in the South. This is what you normally do as a member of Ebenezer Welcome, or someone invited you to come because we were having a celebration day and having a meal. And so you say, I'm just going to go. Lord, maybe you'll show up. Maybe you'll speak to me, but you didn't come really expecting to meet with God. I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit today so that you can be reminded that he is our teacher. He is our guide. He is the one who dwells within us. He is the one who will help us during these times that we struggle in that relationship if we will turn to God and we'll trust him and we will call upon him to help us. I want to think, as we talk about the wind from these storms, it's amazing the technology that we have today and how accurate they were in so many ways of describing what was going to happen with the storm and the wind speeds, the direction it was going to go, and all those things. So it was able to save lives by getting people evacuated and getting them out of the way. But, you know, as we think about that, there's still so much more that we don't know, and yet it reminds us of the Spirit, too, is we don't know exactly where he's coming from all the time. We don't see him. We don't hear him in the sense of audibly hearing him necessarily, but we know that he's there. You know, when you think about the wind, I think about windmills and the fact that they started way back in 200 B.C. with the first windmills in an area around Iran, and how the people couldn't see the wind, really couldn't determine which direction it was coming from other than effects of the wind, but yet they could harness the power of the wind, and how we still do that today. A lot of people are beginning to put up windmills in large areas on properties to help convert that wind into power for powering homes and things. But when we think about that, just because we can't see it, just because we can't fully understand how it happens and come in the directions that it comes and to do the things it does, doesn't mean that it's not real, it's not there. I'm going to talk to you a little bit today about from chapter 14, about who is the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to touch on three aspects of the Holy Spirit. There's way more than this that we could talk about, but for the sake of time today, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit and who is the Holy Spirit. Just think about this too. Is there any obstacle that is hindering you from walking in the Spirit of God and being obedient to the Lord God by the leading and teaching of the Spirit of God in our lives. If there is that hindrance, there's a hindrance called sin. And so as we talk about the Holy Spirit, I want you to listen as Jesus is speaking here, beginning in verse 15, chapter 14 in the book of John. It says, "If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot see, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you." And so as Jesus is beginning to tell his disciples that he's going to be going away, and it is for their good that he go away, because as he goes, that he's going to send the helper. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, is who he's referring to here. And so the question really, as we ask about this, is who is this Holy Spirit and what does he do? That's the two things I want you to think about today. And so as we talk about who he is, Jesus describes him here, first of all, as a person. Now, I want to begin to say, as we talk about him as a person, that six times here in these verses, he is described as he. The Holy Spirit is not it. It's not an impersonal object. It's not some power, some force, or some mysterious thing out there. He is part of the Godhead of the Trinity. And that with that, it's hard for us to sometimes understand the aspects of the Trinity. But when you think about the person of the Holy Spirit, and think about who he is, he intercedes on our behalf in prayer. You know, when we don't even know what to pray, when we're so distraught or we're so overwhelmed by things and circumstances in our lives, that he intercedes for us and he intercedes to the Father for us through the Son. And so that prayer is taking place, he is praying for your well-being and my well-being. But not only that, but he also teaches us. The scriptures make it clear that he is our teacher to give us understanding and instruction of who Jesus Christ is. Jesus goes on to say here in the book of John that when he leaves, that the helper will come and he will teach you of all unrighteousness. He will teach of sin. He will teach you of righteousness. And that in doing so, he will teach you of the things of Christ. John went on to write that if everything was written down about Jesus, this earth could not contain the things about Jesus. You know, it's amazing when we begin to read the Bible as a new Christian or as someone who is seeking to know God and wanting to know who God is, as we begin to read and we're reading a passage of Scripture, and it's like, we might as well be reading in the original language of Greek or Hebrew, and it's like we can't have understanding of what it's really talking about. And then all of a sudden, as we read a little more, how the Spirit begins to reveal to us the things we've read before. A lot of times when you're reading those, it gets to a point that says, therefore, meaning go back and read what you just read, and he's going to reveal to you now that you've read it for the first time, or maybe you've read this many times. He's going to begin to instruct you and teach you what that passage is talking about from the Word of God. And so he is our teacher. I'm thankful for pastors and teachers and those who teach the Bible. But, you know, we learn from one another. But where we really learn from is through getting into the Word of God and the Word of God getting into us through the Spirit of God who dwells within us, teaching us to understand what God is speaking to us as his children. You know, so as you're thinking about the person of the Holy Spirit, so he is a teacher. He is one who prays and intercedes for us. He is also a part of the Creator in the fact that he was involved in the creation from the very beginning. He's a part of the process and the healing too is the Godhead, and the fact that and through that prayer, God hears the prayer and the concerns of his people, and he begins to work in that way of providing healing. Now, sometimes it's emotional healing when we're struggling with the fact that we feel alone. Maybe we're just feeling isolated. Maybe it's a matter that we're struggling with a particular issue and we're saying, Lord, where are you? And he reminds us that he is right there with us. He's never leave us nor forsake us. As Jesus said that, you know, some would question, well, he died on the cross, he went to the grave, and he went back to heaven. So how could he make that statement, is I'll never leave you nor forsake you? Just as he has spoken here, and he's referring to the fact that when he sends that helper, the Holy Spirit, he will dwell with us forever. You know, when you talk about in the Greek, the word for the Holy Spirit there, and he's talking about here is the one that's talking about the helper, is talking about the paraclete. He's talking about that one who comes alongside us to help us, to be that helper. He's mentioned sometimes as called the advocate. He's also called sometimes a counselor. But probably the best translation is helper. Now, I don't know about you, but I can use more help than I can even begin to imagine. As we came today, I was just going through the daily routine and preparing to come, and I dressed. I got here, and I began to feel a little bit of a draft. I looked down, and a button popped on my shirt. And I found the button, but it's like, you know, I looked around, and I had this shirt already here just for that event. So you try to prepare, and you try to do the best you can. But you see, there's things like that are beyond just little buttons popping or things like that that we think we can handle that happen in our lives that we don't really have control over. It could be cut through our sin. It could be through the sin of others. It can be as part of God's sovereignty, allowing us to go through a trial or a testing or to be tempted in some way and to help us to get through that, to grow and come out stronger on the other side. But the one who helps us with that is the Holy Spirit. You see, because we cannot do everything within our own strength. And when we talk about spiritual aspects of our life, we cannot live a sinless and perfect life in our own strength. That's why we need to depend upon the Lord. That's why we need to call upon him to forgive us of our sin. And with that, the Spirit convicts us of our sin when we sin against God. And when he does that, he's doing so that in the closest and the intimacy of that relationship with the Spirit is that we will turn back and we will confess our sin and we will receive that forgiveness of sin. And so he convicts of sin. And he says here too also that he convicts of righteousness also. And so as he will talk about that in just a moment, that righteousness will be a reminder of the fact that we are not righteous, but we know the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And through his righteousness, through his shed blood, our sins are forgiven. We confess our sin and call upon him to forgive us. And so the Spirit is at work in our lives in the person of the Holy Spirit. When you start thinking about him being God, I was talking to you earlier about he's part of the Trinity. And we think about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, it's easy to kind of imagine God the Father. We've not seen him, but we read so much about him. It's pretty easy to imagine what it'd be like to be in the presence of Jesus because there are those who have seen him, and through him, God has been revealed to us. But let me just say, when you think about the Spirit, there's a movie and a book that presents him as a woman. Everything that I read about in the Bible presents him as a he, masculine. And the fact that he, while he is also one of the personages of the Godhead of the Trinity, he is also part of the one being who is God. Now, I'm just going to tell you, I'm an old country boy from a low state. I can't understand all of that. I can't even explain it to you in the sense that you're going to understand it probably. And what that explains to us is that God will reveal himself fully when we're with him in the sense that we'll begin to understand those things when we get to heaven. But here on earth, our little finite minds cannot comprehend that fully. But it's true that he is a part of the Godhead. But the thing you need to know about the Holy Spirit too is he is the Spirit of truth. He is truth. You know, in the Bible, several times he's mentioned as the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord God. He's revealed as the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of righteousness, the helper here who also reveals Christ to us. And so when we start thinking about truth, we understand that God's word is truth. But how do we think that we receive the Bible through all of those who spoke before? Do you think it was just the will and the opinions of men? I don't think so, because when you read over in 2 Peter, he tells us very clearly, in 2 Peter 1, verses 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. You see, these holy men of God were holy because they had acknowledged God as their God. They had received the Spirit to dwell within them and to guide them and give them understanding and direction. Now, they spoke in their common vernacular just like we do as country folks when we say y'all in the South. They used that same personality in their writing and their speaking of the Word, but they were directed by the Spirit of God of what to say. You know, several times in the Old Testament, we read where the prophet said, "Thus says the Lord." But when we read in the New Testament, we read where they're giving accounts of what Jesus said, and then they're sharing with us what Jesus told them. And so with that, they're essentially saying, "Thus says the Lord," because they're inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us the Word of God that we have. And so the Holy Spirit was very instrumental and vital within giving us God's Word as we understand it today to be able to understand and know who God is. That's another aspect of the Holy Spirit is that He reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every one of us here that have followed Christ understand and know that we have to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ that He is Lord, that He is God, that He lived a sinless life while He was here on this earth, that He willingly went to the cross and He died for our sins and paid that sin debt and that penalty that we cannot pay ourselves. And that He rose from the grave on the third day and He defeated death and sin, death and hell. And with that, through faith in Christ, repentance and faith, we have the hope of eternal life. Now, as God, the Holy Spirit is eternal. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, ever-present. All the aspects that we read about God are described in the Holy Spirit. And so He is a person, He is God, and He is truth. And so He reveals to us the truth of who Christ is. You know, I think about the fact that when Christ was beginning to draw me to Himself, and the Scripture makes it very clear also in the book of John that God draws us to Him. Let me just say that in that drawing of us to Him is that it's done by the power of the Holy Spirit. When you read of the miracles that Jesus did, it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. When we read about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, as Southern Baptists, we tend to shrink when we talk about the Holy Spirit because we think, uh-oh, they're going to get all Pentecostal on us and they're going to start talking about you got to be able to speak in tongues and you got to do all these things as signs and all these things. And you know what, folks? The day may come where that happens because it's happened before. I want to tell you this, is do you think when you read in the Scriptures where it says that one day when God's Son comes back and that eastern sky parts and He comes back, you think there ain't going to be some tongue wagging and speaking and yelling and screaming and hollering and celebrating? He's here. He's here. We're going home. Absolutely. In every tongue, in every tribe, in every language, it'll be heard. Jesus is here. He's here for us. But when we talk about how we know Jesus, it's through the revelation that comes through the power of the Holy Spirit as He's working in our lives and He's revealing to us the things of Christ that we can then turn to Him and know that He alone is God. You see, He is truth. He never lies to us. When He's talking about righteousness, as we read about over here in John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7 through 11. Jesus talking about the work of the Holy Spirit here as we get to the second question, what does the Spirit do? Is He says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in Me, of righteousness because I go to My Father and you see Me no more, of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." You know, when we think about the work of the Spirit, two things that I can tell you that He does, first of all, is He points us to Christ for salvation. As He reveals Christ to us. And so when you think about your salvation, you're thinking about back to that time when you came to that point of understanding, you came to that point of acknowledging Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you probably began to read the Word some. Maybe you began to listen to sermons, whether it was someone on the radio, or maybe you were starting to go and attend church somewhere and you were hearing sermons. The preaching of God's Word is very important in the proclamation of the Gospels that the Word of God is preached. Maybe it was in a Sunday school class or a small group where you began to hear for the first time that Jesus Christ loves you and He died for you, and that you're a sinner separated from God, an enemy of God, and He still loved you enough to die for you, and that you don't have to remain a sinner, you don't have to remain an enemy of God. You can turn to Him, repent of your sins, and turn to Him and receive the gift of salvation, that you too can be saved. But that beginning of that process of drawing you and revealing that to you is the work of the Spirit. Let me just say, as we think about our salvation, and I think about it quite often as a person I was before, and you know, at 22, almost 23 years old, coming to Christ, having heard much about Christ, but finally coming to that point of acknowledging Him as my Lord and Savior and confessing my sin and asking Him to forgive me and save me, is that I know that on that day, on November 2nd of 1989, I was radically saved by the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me just go on to say, though, is when I was saved at that point, the pastor, and I'm not knocking on the pastor, but it's a struggle in most churches because pastors get pulled in a lot of directions. I understand that. As a pastor, I understand that. Sometimes it's about buildings and stuff like it's been this morning with things happening with the buildings. Sometimes it's that people are sick and you're spending time with that. But when I think about it, the one thing that as churches we're struggling to do today is really make disciples. And yes, that is exactly what we were commanded to do. Not called to do it, not suggested to do it, but we were commanded to make disciples. Now, part of that is the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. If we've been given that gift that He gave us, because He gives the gifts to us as a teacher, we need to be using those gifts to be teaching and discipling. Not that we know everything, because a teacher also first has to be a learner. You cannot teach if you're not learning. You know, I hear all the time about preachers that have preached for a lot of years, and they go to the Bible during the week, and they look at it and say, now, what's a sermon I've preached before that I can pull out? It's been a busy week. You know what, folks? If that's the case, when the person opens the Bible and begins to speak, it's going to become obvious to everybody sitting here, the Spirit of God is going to reveal to you, this person has not studied. They've not spent time with the Spirit of God and in the Word of God. They've not spent time in learning and preparing. And you know what? Sometimes you can preach faithfully to the text, the same text, and you can be used in a different way by God to speak into someone's life from that same text. But if you're not learning and you're not studying and you're not growing and the Spirit's not active and alive and working in your life because you've quenched the Spirit by basically saying, hey, I got it. I can handle this. I got a good grip on this. When that happens, we quench the Spirit. Because you see, as a person, He can be hurt too. You know, we don't think about that about God and how sometimes we hurt God. You think, well, how do we hurt God? I think about Jesus and all those stripes that He took for me and for you. The beating that He took. The thorns that were placed upon His head, on His brow. I think about even before all that, when He was there in the garden and He prayed so hard that He dropped sweats of blood as He was interceding for you and for me. And I think about when we rebel against Him as His children, or we tell the Spirit basically in a sense like, I don't want to be convicted about my sin. I like this little pet sin. I'll be okay on the rest of it, but on this I don't want to. Or it's a matter that we just say, listen, I know what the Word says, but listen, you want to grieve the Holy Spirit after He was used by God and His prophets and those who came before to give us this Word, to then say, I know what the Word says, but like I'm not going to abide by that. Because what does Jesus tell us? He says, abide in the Word. Follow my commandments. How do we do that? Through the power of the Holy Spirit working our lives every day. And so when we think about salvation It's one of those things that we're told to work that out every single day, in the sense that we're surrendering to the Word and the will of God, and we're surrendering to the Spirit of God, and we're walking in a way of bringing joy to the Lord in our relationship with Him, in our fellowship with Him. You know, we often worry about our happiness. It's like, I'm just not happy right now. You know, the Lord just seems like He's far and distant. Let me just tell you this, He ain't walked anywhere. He didn't take the first step to step away from you. It's time when you're in that situation, you need to get on your knees and begin to say, Lord, where did I turn away from you? What did I do? He convicts us of sin. And He convicts us of righteousness. It says sin because the world wouldn't believe in Jesus. You see, when you're out in the world, you're not going to be confronted about the things of God. Not by the world. You're not going to be told, hey, maybe you shouldn't do this because that doesn't match up with who you say you are as a Christian. You know, I've heard the stories before about the policeman that pulled over somebody and they had a bumper sticker on the back that said, honk if you love Jesus. People were honking at them and they were giving them a sign that wasn't from Jesus. And so the policeman pulled them over and said, can I see your driver's license and registration? He just checked and said, was I speeding? Did I do something wrong, officer? What was wrong? He said, no, you weren't speeding. But with that sticker on the back of your car and the sign you were given over there out the window, I really thought this car must be stolen. But I see that it matches up with the registration and your driver's license that you own this vehicle. Folks, let me just say something. We're not perfect. All of us are sinners. But we represent the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day as those who profess to be Christians. And the only way that we represent Him well is that we abide in the Word of God and the power of the Spirit of God, and that we listen to our teacher, and that He guides us and directs us and reveals our sin to us, and we confess it, and we remain in that right, intimate relationship with God. But the next thing is righteousness. Now, folks, sometimes we're very good to justify our sin and our lives. Is, well, I'm no worse than the other person over here. Or I'm no worse than the person in my Sunday school class. Or whoever it may be, you just name it. But I want to tell you, is the Lord will never listen to that when we stand before Him in judgment. It grieves the Spirit of God when we don't acknowledge God's righteousness and our need to call upon Him each and every day to forgive us of our sins and remain in the righteousness of God. Because what does the Bible describe our righteousness as but filthy rags? We can't earn our way to heaven. We can't be good enough in any way to pay our sin debt. The only way it was ever paid was through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when it's talking about salvation, we work that out every day in obedience to the Lord, to the Word, and to the Spirit of God. Not that we earn it, but it's, we've received it through the power of the shed blood. That salvation is secure. That's the other thing. He seals us is another work of the Holy Spirit. Is it that people talk about, well, you know, maybe this person's lost their salvation. And people talk about, yeah, Baptists believe in that once saved, always saved. Well, I don't think it's just Baptists. I think it's Presbyterians and others that believe this, because the Bible teaches us that. And it teaches us in the fact that we're sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it says in the Scriptures that no one can pluck us from His hand. No power, no being can separate us from God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. And that's the power and the work of the Spirit of God in the life of the believer. The other thing is transformation. He says also that He will convict us of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, and of judgment because the rule of this world is judged. You know, when I think about that, I think about transformation. I think about the person I was before Christ. And again, not that I'm perfect and I'm not the standard. It's God's Word and God's Spirit that directs us to understand the standard is God Himself. Okay? Not a pastor, not a Sunday school teacher, not a deacon. None of those folks, it's not a human being other than the human being of the God-man, okay? Fully God and fully man. He set the standard for us in His Word and through His life. But you know, when I think about that, is that it's talking about the fact that our lives would be transformed. In other words, people that are followers of Christ shouldn't remain the same in their actions, their words, their attitudes as they were before Christ. You know, in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, it talks about our acceptable sacrifice. You know, we understand that we don't sacrifice bulls and goats and lambs and all those things before. It tells that over in Hebrews. But that sacrifice should be just like Christ in the fact that we are a living sacrifice and that we give ourselves completely over to the Lord and to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The only way that we do that is through the power of the Holy Spirit, because our fleshly nature is going to say, I don't want to do that. But the Spirit says, but you can't be part of me if you don't. You know, when old Peter and Jesus was washing their feet, and he said, not my feet only, but wash all of me. And he said, if you bathe, you don't need to be washed all over, just your feet. Remove the dirt. And it's symbolic of the sin in our lives. Just remove that sin. The only one that can remove that is Jesus. And again, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so when you think about who is Jesus, he's a person. He is God. He is truth. He is a teacher. He's the one who points us to Jesus for salvation. But also, he is the one who helps transform our lives. You know, I can remember back when I was a young believer, as I expressed earlier, that pastor gave me a survivor's handbook, basically, for new believers. Read this and ask me if I got any questions, and that's not discipleship. For a new believer, especially, some mature Christian needs to grab them by the arm and say, listen, I don't know everything, but I don't want you to flounder around out there as a baby and be left out on a step somewhere, you know, for some other cult or some group to come and take you and lead you astray. I want to help point you to things of the truths of God, how you can grow in that relationship with him through getting into his word. How do you do a Bible study for yourself? How do you have a devotion? How do you grow as a follower of Christ? And you do that by one big brother or sister taking a little brother or sister, because remember, we're the family of God. This is not a stranger. I don't know them, or they got different personalities. They're there from a different part of the country or the world. Who cares? We're all one Lord, one faith, one kingdom, and so we're part of that family. And with that, every one of us have that responsibility to be being discipled and then making a disciple. And when that happens is that we take that person alongside us and we become that helper along with the helper, the Holy Spirit, working in and through us to reveal to them and help point them in the direction to know and grow in Christ. Folks, too often we've sat back and thought somebody else will do it. You know, we're talking about need and help for signing up for Acts Ministry. Let me just tell you this. We need people involved that can drive a 15-passenger van on Sundays and Wednesdays. Shelby Capps has been faithful for years now, Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Some others have helped, and I'm thankful for others that have helped. But some of you are sitting home on Wednesday nights, and we've got children that want to come to church and can't get to church. A lot of them that are not church families, that maybe the parents don't want to bring them. Maybe they're sitting at home with a car, but they don't want to bring them. And we mumble, well, they could have brought them. Well, let me just say, lost people don't generally take people to church because they don't want to go to church. But there's a problem when church people don't want to go and help pick up kids that are lost and get them to church. When we got a driver's license and we can do that. I mean, the Spirit of God should be convicting every one of us. There's a place that I can serve because he's given us the gifts and the abilities and the health to be able to do that. And we're commanded as followers of Christ to do just that. And it might not be that you can teach or that you're able to do those things with children or youth, but you can put them on a van and you can pick them up and you can love on them and you can bring them to church and you can take them home and love on, pray for them, talk about hope, how they hope to have a good week, and we'll see you again next Sunday or Wednesday. You know what? You just don't ever know what a difference it'll make, because we had one Sunday night, we took a young man home, and the ones that dropped him off said, we'll see you Wednesday. An hour later, we got a phone call and he was dead. But you don't ever know that you might be that one used by the Spirit of God to make a difference in the life of a kid for eternity. And God has given you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. The Holy Spirit's convicting, and we want to quench the Spirit and say, somebody else will do it. Somebody always steps up to do it. Or I've been there and done that, and it's time for somebody else to do it. Let me just say this. If he ain't called you home, and you can still get in a car and drive, and you still come to church, and you still get up and walk around, and you still share with people about the blessings of God instead of all the problems you got. Let me just say this. As I was thinking about all this with the roofs leaking and all today, folks down in the lower part of the state in North Carolina, there's a bunch of them would love to have a roof over their head somewhere that belongs to them. We're extremely blessed and spoiled. The question today is, how is the Holy Spirit working in and through your life? Not the life of others, in your life today. Or is he? If you're professing to be a follower of Christ and you can't think of a time you felt like, man, I could help in this way with what's going on in the church. I can serve in this way. Maybe you need to check up this morning. Maybe you just need to begin to examine, Lord, have I quenched the Spirit? Have I come to that point that I feel like I am either too old or too good or just it's beneath me or whatever it is? Let me just say this. It wasn't beneath Christ to go to the cross and be beaten beforehand and die on the cross for your sin and mine. He had every right to say they're not worth it. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he did that in the power of the Holy Spirit upon him to forgive his enemies. Maybe you're dealing with some issues of forgiveness. You're holding grudges. You're upset about something. You're mad at somebody about something. Maybe you just need to listen to the Spirit as he's saying to you, forgive them. You cannot receive forgiveness and experience the joy and the peace and the patience and the kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit described there in Galatians 5 if you're harboring bitterness towards someone. When I read those characteristics there in Galatians, nothing there describes someone who's bitter and spiteful and mean. Everything there is describing someone who is like Jesus. And we're talking about transformation today. That should be maybe the way we were before as a sinner. But it should not be the way we are today as a professing follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those two things don't go together. They don't match up. And let me just say that last thing you talked about was judgment. You're not going to have to answer to a preacher. You're not going to answer to a church. You're not going to answer to a deacon board. You're going to answer to God himself. And God help you. God help all of us. That we would love one another. We would extend grace to one another. We would extend forgiveness to one another. And that we would honor God through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lived out. Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day and I thank you for each one that's here today, Lord, as we came for maybe many different purposes. I hope the one great purpose was that we came with a heart and a desire to meet with you, Lord, to know you more intimately as our Lord and our Savior. Lord, I thank you for the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as followers of Christ. Lord, we have no hope apart from you, and the only way that we even knew about you was through the Spirit revealing you to us and drawing us to yourself. Lord, we couldn't even call upon you and ask you to forgive us without the power and the help of the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives in a way that we would then choose to say, Lord, please save me because of who you are. Lord, I love you, thank you, and I praise you, and I pray that there's some here today, Lord, that would come and acknowledge you as their Lord and their Savior. Lord, that maybe it's for the first time they would trust you and ask you to forgive them their sins and save them. Maybe there are others who just need to bow and say, Lord, please forgive me for quenching the Spirit. And Lord, there's the gifts you've given me and I've not been using those. Lord, would you forgive me? Lord, may I be a blessing to you and to others around, Lord, that they might be pointed to you through my words and through my life. Lord, may I forgive that person who has been spiteful and mean to me. Lord, may I just share with them, I forgive them because you've forgiven me.
Lord, may you be glorified today in all that happens. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?